Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
Sirius XM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You bet your ass, baby.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did you? I say there ain't nobody. I'll say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow. Now is there? Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast. With host Eddie Trunk.
What's up, everybody? It's Eddie Trunk, and welcome to another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. New every Thursday, news-making interviews with your favorite rock and metal artist. Hope you're all having a great week, and thank you for subscribing and listening to the podcast, which, of course, is new every Thursday on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Just search for my name and it'll come up. Well, you probably already did that since you are listening, so thank you for doing so. Be sure to follow on social media at Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook page, and be sure to listen if you are a SiriusXM subscriber to my daily radio show, which is called Trunk Nation, and is heard Monday through Friday on a new channel, Faction Talk. That's SiriusXM channel 103. You can hear me there live daily talking rock and bringing you rock news and interviews 3 to 5 Eastern every day. That's, of course, noon to 2 Pacific. Do the conversions in your time zone. And I hope you come on board and join me for the daily radio show if you're in the U.S. or Canada. If you're not listening already, hope you do so. You can always listen to anything you want from the radio show if you can't listen in the live window by going to the SiriusXM app and putting Trunk Nation, two words, in the search bar, past shows, interviews, and more. Everything you hear on this podcast originated on my live radio show on SiriusXM. If you're only listening to the podcast, you're only getting a tiny fraction of what I do on a daily basis on the radio. We've got a great doubleheader for you this week. Two lead singers, one that's been at it for 50 years, one that's been at it just shy of 40 years, both currently still on tour. We'll let seniority go first. We'll start with Kevin Cronin. Kevin, of course, is the lead singer of REO Speedwagon and has been in that gig since, I think, around 1972. He, of course, is the writer and singer on one of the biggest songs of all time, one of the first power ballads ever, Keep On Loving You. And Kevin tells us a really funny story about that that will really hit you when you hear it. So get ready for some great stuff from Kevin Cronin. REO Speedwagon, currently on tour in amphitheaters across America as we speak, on a co-headlining tour with Styx. Kevin is a great guy and a regular listener of my radio show, which I appreciate, and it was great to visit with him recently for a few minutes. So we'll tee him up first, and then second, a guy that's currently out there fronting Poison on the long-awaited stadium tour, has a few more dates left in it. Brett Michaels joins me. Brett made a lot of news in the interview you'll hear in this podcast when he talked about the fact that he does not anticipate doing anything again with Poison until 2015, and exclusively announced something he's putting together for next year or two that he's calling Party Gras. And this really was a big story when he said this on my show, because I think a lot of people thought that maybe Poison would kick into action and do a lot more work coming off of the stadium tour where they are getting rave reviews. But Brett very much on his own path and has a plan for his solo band to do this special event. So we talk a little bit about that and more. It was great to visit with him. Two good guys, two old friends, and it was great to have them both on the show. Of course, these interviews happened on separate days, but they're both around a week or two old, so very, very relevant. And again, both bands currently on tour, so you have a chance to check them out and listen to this interview. Good timing. Again, at Eddie Trunk on social media, eddietrunk.com is the website. And a quick note, if you're in Tennessee or Tulsa, I'll be seeing you this weekend. I got some road work starting. And this weekend, Thursday and Friday, I'll be at Monsters on the Mountain in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Thursday for the pre-party, Friday to host day one of that event, which is 3 days long. I'll also be doing my SiriusXM show with some guests from that event on Thursday and Friday. And then Saturday, I head over to Tulsa, where I'll be there to host an evening at the BOK Center featuring a rare headline set from Poison, along with special guests Tom Kiefer and LA Guns. That show nearly sold out, so if you're in the Tulsa area, be sure to get your tickets in advance and come see us this Saturday. And then from there, it's Rocklahoma, a bunch of other great stuff. Again, follow on social media. I will indeed keep you updated on all of those platforms and hope to see you at these events if you are attending. We will start out right now. Let's get right to it. First up, Kevin Cronin, Brett Michaels a little bit later on. Here's how the conversation with Kevin went on the Eddie Trunk podcast. Going to welcome to the show now a last-minute addition to the program today, but it's always great to visit with him, and he's a regular listener as well. Kevin Cronin of REO Speedwagon joins me right now. Kevin, how are you, bud?
Good, Eddie. Well, I'll tell you, I'm very confused. I'm trying to figure out where you are and what's going on at XM Volume. So I'm just tuning in every day and trying to follow the story. It's very, very exciting.
Well, it's very simple for this. I can tell you for this show, if you're looking for it, it's just an hour later and it's on 103 instead of 106 now. And then everything will be on the app. And yeah, I know it's tough during transition, but same show, everything's the same. Same thing, me babbling about rock. Just an hour later and three notches down on 103. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was listening Thursday, when you kind of made the announcement. And then yesterday I was in my car and I just turned on the car and it was already on 106 Volume. And there you were. And I'm listening. I'm like, wait a minute. He's not supposed to be there. But you were and it was live. So, all right. So.
Yeah,
so,
for a little while it'll be on both because until everyone picks up on the transition. So it's kind of a simulcast at the moment, but eventually we're pushing everybody here because eventually it'll only be here. So that's the idea. But thank you that's for caring, Kevin, right, and thank good. You for thank Ooh. You for listening and caring and checking your preset. I appreciate that. I really do. How you been, man? You got a little break. Yeah. How was the first leg of the tour?
Well, we've done, Eddie, it has been incredible. We've done two legs. We did a Midwest run. We started out with a Midwest run, which, of course, that is REO and Styx country there. You know, those are the people that go back to the early 70s with our band. So when we come through and play St. Louis, Chicago, Milwaukee, Detroit, you know, all those real heartland Indianapolis cities, it's always amazing. This year was off the charts. I mean, we had, 19,000 people in St. Louis. I mean, it's just been great. Just that's all I can say. But, I mean, of course, we got the COVID resurgence, which makes which makes life a little less fun because we can't do meet and greets. We can't have any guests backstage. So that's a little, for us, that's really weird because we're a very social band, but we're dealing with it. And so the first leg was great. Second leg, ended with, we were in Phoenix and Reno comes up to me and he's like, man, he goes, my throat's feeling a little raspy, a little dry. I'm like, Mike, it's 104 degrees at 8 o'clock at night. We're in Phoenix. Of course your voice is going to be a little dry, but sure enough, the vid caught them, and so but they'll be back. They are going to be with us starting in Virginia Beach on Friday night and on as far as we can tell. So yeah, it's been amazing.
So I was going to ask you about that, because the bill is REO and Styx co-headlining and then Loverboy opening the shows. How many shows did Loverboy miss because Mike Reno had COVID? How many shows did it cost them?
Yeah, it wasn't just Reno. I mean, Maddie, their drummer. I mean, it must have just got into their tour bus or something. But you know,
right.
Fortunately, it was the last weekend of the tour. But of course, you know, at least there was only three shows that they missed, three Texas shows, and so we literally found out the afternoon of the Austin show on Friday, and I'm like, God, what is that? I love those guys. I will tell you that whenever we close, you know, we close half the shows and the middle side and half. So when we close, I'm free when Loverboy goes on. And Eddie, I swear to God, I'm out there every night. Like, they're just so much fun to watch, and they're such just great guys. You know, four to five original members. Reno singing like you know, he's ageless, that voice. It's so amazing, and so I love it every night. So when I heard that they weren't going to be there, you know, I'm just like, God, what could I do? You know, I felt kind of helpless. And then I thought, wait a minute. So I got to the gig, got the boys together in our practice room backstage, and we worked up an arrangement of working for the weekend, and we closed our shows all those three nights with the Loverboy Classic. And so I think the crowd, you know, I didn't want the crowd leaving feeling like, oh man, you know, we paid for a three act show. We only got two, you know, but, so we tried to, and Lawrence, Lawrence Gowan from Styx, during his little classical piano solo interlude, he did the chorus of Loving Every Minute of it. So it was, you know, so we both paid tribute to the Loverboys, and that tells you what kind of tour this is. You know, it's just a real brotherhood type situation. So, and the crowd, of course, the crowd is the ultimate winner, because everybody's in a good mood. So we go out and you play better, you know?
Well, and between the three bands, I mean, obviously REO and Styx, you've done a lot of work together over the years, and obviously two great bands, as you mentioned, from that area of the country, with so many great songs and still great performances, and how well Tommy and Lawrence sing, and how great they, you know, just killer. I mean, I've seen them many, many times, you guys as well.
Yeah.
And Loverboy being on there, I thought, was a really cool thing to round out that bill, because I think you're right. I think people forget how many big songs they had. They have a lot of big songs as well. And, you know, they had a lot of issues the last few years with COVID, being Canadian. They were on about two or three different events I was supposed to do in the last year or two, and every time they had to cancel because they couldn't get over the border, they couldn't get in and out of the country,
right.
COVID restrictions. So now it sucks for them that they finally got here. They finally get on a great tour with you guys, and it still cost them some dates. But as you said, hopefully they can bounce back and pick up with you on Friday.
No, they are, you know, we spoke to them today, and they are definitely going to be there Friday. They're feeling good. You know, they missed a weekend, and then there was a 10-day break. So they've had a full 2 weeks for everyone to get back into it. So they'll be there, they're wonderful. And the great part about it, Eddie, is the whole partnership between REO and Styx. You know, they're up until the year 2000, REO and Styx had never done a show together. And, you know, we played with every other band on the planet, right? But for some reason, never Styx. And it was Tommy Shaw and I met just randomly backstage at a rock and roll quiz show that used to be on VH1. And we just started talking. We took our wives out to dinner, and then we're like, you know, we've never played together. Why don't we try it? And so ever since that moment, you know, REO and Styx, I think this is our fifth major tour with them. But my point is that it didn't come from promoters or managers or agents. It came from the bands. It came from the guys in the bands wanting to work together. All I can tell you is that has really, cemented this partnership. And the same thing happened with Loverboy. Reno and I, you know, we had done a few dates over the years. I said hello to him. But in 2018, Ian Gillan of Deep Purple, myself, and Reno did a tour of Europe fronting a symphony orchestra, you know, playing our tunes with a German rhythm section and a like a 60 piece orchestra. So I spent a month with Reno and just, you know, we had a night of grappa in southern Germany that bonded us forever. And, when we got to the lobby the next day, fortunately we had a day off. Reno was unrecognizable. So I can tell you, I walked right past him, didn't know him. But he's just a great guy. And so that's kind of where the Loverboy edition came from. It was like, wow, wouldn't that be awesome? And it is. I mean, you know, to have, you know, Loverboy plays Working for the Weekend, and 15 minutes later, because our crews are so amazing, they turn the stage over, and it's either us or Styx. And what could be a better song to follow than because everyone's on their feet, like you say. But their whole show, 45 minutes of songs, and it's one of those things where you go, oh yeah, that one. And then they play it. Then the next one, oh yeah, that one. You know, they've got a million songs that you know. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Kevin, for you personally, going out there with REO and doing this, I mean, I know it's your passion. I know you've been doing it like 50 years. It's just incredible. You still do it well. But how do you feel like doing this so long? Do you still get up for touring like you once did? Are there challenging aspects of it, being older and being at this point in your life, being on the road? How do you feel vocally about singing some of the old stuff? Is some of it become challenging for you, or are you still pretty comfortable with it?
Well, I tell you, my son Shane just graduated with a degree in vocal music from USC here in Los Angeles, and he had a vocal professor by the name of Jeffrey Allen, and he would tell me, Dad, you got to work with Jeffrey, man. He'll change your life, you know. And Shane has got pardon me, Shane's got an amazing natural singing voice. But I saw over the years he was getting better and stronger. And so finally, I kind of relented, and I contacted Jeffrey. And for the past almost 2 years now, I've been studying with a real vocal coach, kind of for the first time in my life. And my son was right. It has changed my life, Eddie. I see Jeffrey at least twice a week. I see him in the afternoon of show days, and we work stuff out. And, you know, I'm still... You know, it's a new way of looking at the instrument, kind of. You know, I'm singing like he changed a lot, but it's now it's making sense, and I don't lose my voice anymore. I'm literally enjoying singing as opposed to like going out on stage every night hoping that it works. You know, so this tour has been, as a singer, my favorite tour ever. You know, I stay healthy. You know, I I'm pretty well disciplined as far as, you know, exercise and you know, good eating and stuff like that. So I'm still, you know, I can still move around up there, you know, and especially a tour like this where you got 15,000 people a night out there singing along to every song. There's so much energy. You know, we're putting out energy by playing the song, but you hear 15,000 people singing it back at you, man. It just, there's nothing quite like it, you know. So we get energized by the crowd. The only challenge is just being away from home and the travel. And you know, now we get monkeypox, which supposedly you got to be careful in hotels. I'm like, oh, great. You know, so now I got to wear gloves when I, you know, in my hotel room. It's like, oh, geez. But
it's always something.
That, you know, we're... yeah, it's always something, but I'm having a great time out there, Eddie. I mean, you know, everybody in Styx, everybody in Loverboy, I love all these guys. All the crews get along great. It's a well-oiled machine, and it's fun, and it's just it couldn't be going better for us. So all good.
Well, I'm looking at the set list from, I guess, what was the last show before the break, Houston. And you can see more on the dates and all of this at REOSpeedwagon.com. But, you know, running down that set list, you got four songs from High Infidelity, which, of course, is now past 40 years old, which is crazy because I remember we talked about the 30th anniversary of that. And then you've got, and you know, yeah, when you look at these songs, whether it's Taken on the Run, one of my favorites, and Time for Me to Fly, and of course, Keep on Loving You, and Roll with the Changes, and all the great REO hits. Yeah, I mean, you're still delivering them great. And I think it's really interesting that at this point in your career, that you've gone and looked at things to do with your voice to become a better singer, because most people would think, well, after 50 years, I mean, the guy's got it figured out, but there are changes. It's such a physical thing. And, you know, I just was talking to a friend of mine that works for Aerosmith, and they're getting ready to gear up in September. And he was saying to me, he goes, you know, yeah, Steven is healthy and he's gotten cleaned up and he's actually taking singing lessons to get ready for the tour. And then that, and I've been like, well, Steven Tyler taking singing lessons. And then Geddy Lee on the last Rush tour, I'll never forget it. I was sitting back after the show and talking to him, and I said to him, I said, Ged, you're sounding better on this tour than I remember hearing you ever. And he's like, well, yeah, I learned some things. I made some changes. I remember he told me he cut dairy out on show days, and that helped his voice. So I guess you never stop learning, and the challenges of being a singer, because it's such a physical instrument, it's your voice, that you're always going to evolve and learn new stuff. And it's interesting to hear that you're doing that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think you either do or you don't. And I think the singers that you see kind of falling by the wayside for whatever reason, it's hard. It's hard to be in your 60s and kind of revamping the whole way you think about singing, which is what I've been doing for the past couple of years. And, you know, it's a challenge, and you know, you got to be up for it. But man, I will tell you that the rewards of it are, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I just, like I say, I'm, it turns out that singing is actually quite enjoyable. So,
well,
yeah.
Kevin, I love to sing. I just don't let anybody hear me do it, because nobody needs to hear me do it, because I'm awful.
I'll introduce you to Jeffrey, Eddie.
He wouldn't have a chance. He would be like, you know what? You should be lip syncing, pal. You should be lip syncing because you. But I do it in big crowds when, like, a professional like you is singing over a big PA, so nobody can actually hear what's coming out of my mouth. So if I come see REO and you kick into Riding the Storm Out or Roll with the Changes, you'll see me singing. You just won't be able to hear it. Thank God.
Nice. Nice. Now, if you look at the very bottom of that Houston set list, you'll see our closing song.
Working for the Weekend, I see it.
Are you seeing that at all?
Yeah.
We actually put it on the set list, and I took a picture of it and sent it to Reno. And here's the thing, you know, what I had that idea literally on the afternoon of the show that we were going to play in Austin that night, and there was a part of me that I'm like, you know, there are probably bands out there who might take offense to it for some reason, you know, or whatever. And I was thinking, God, what if the Loverboy guys get pissed off about this? You know, I'm like, oh, geez, I knew they wouldn't, but you know what I mean? You just never know. And, but they, you know, they took it totally as it was meant to be taken, as just fun and a tribute to them, and just a sign of how both REO and Styx love them and appreciate what they bring to the party, because it's really a three band show. I tell everybody who I can talk to, you know, the show starts at 7 o'clock sharp. Be there, get there early, you know, get yourself a beer or whatever you want, and be in your seat by 7 o'clock, because, you know, it's as close to a triple headline show as you can get, because Loverboy has got, like you say, they've just got a ton of hits, and Styx, you know, I mean, you've seen them, so you know what they do. And they added another guitar player named Will, who's, I think he produced the past two Styx records, and
yes,
I think he and Tommy write together. So they got another singer up there, you know. So now it's like their vocals are, it's otherworldly when they sing. You know what I mean? It sounds so good, and it's all live, and you know, and they're just such a. I was talking to Lawrence the other day, and he was actually saying that, because he was sitting in catering, and I couldn't join him because I was late for my vocal lesson, and he goes, oh man, he goes, I'm enjoying listening to your vocal lessons through the walls. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah. He goes, I just listen along, and now I'm getting to know the exercises. And so we just said, I go, well, Lawrence, I go, yeah, whatever, you know. I go, but, you know, I go, I got a little more wiggle room up there. You know, REO songs, they're a little more, there's a little blues in them. There's a little more, you know, like I say, I can play with the melodies, which I always do. With Styx, their stuff is precise, man. You gotta, Lawrence has to go out there and nail it, you know, like he's singing classical every night. And he, man, oh man, I'll tell you, he's got some challenging stuff to sing up there, and he frickin' nails it. And he does this thing. Have they been doing the thing where everyone else leaves the stage and he sits there and plays a classical piece for a while? Have you seen that?
I've seen REO since he's been, I'm sorry, Styx since he's been in the band, and I've had him on the show, but I've not seen him do that, I don't think.
Oh, man, it is. I mean, he, you know, 15,000 people, you could hear a pin drop, and he just plays like some guy. I don't even know what, I don't know if he even plays the same piece every night, but suffice to say, and of course, you know, Tommy is a, his voice is a, you know, national treasure. The whole band is just great. And, you know, and we're out there doing our thing, you know, we're the bar band on the bill, you know, so we just go up there and thrash around and play the hits and have some fun and, you know, do the REO Speedwagon thing that we've been doing for 50 years. And, it all somehow works, Eddie. It all kind of fits together. And people, I think people around the country have got so much pent up desire to hear live outside rock and roll. That's why our tour is doing great. I hear that the stadium tour is doing great. And, you know, people just want that our era of music. They want to hear it, and they want to hear it loud and live. And so it's a pretty amazing summer. You know, everyone needs to just be careful and stay healthy and be, you know, just be smart. So, you know, so we can get past this frickin' pandemic.
Yeah, the tour resumes for REO, Styx, and Loverboy in Virginia Beach, Virginia, this Friday. Mostly East Coast stuff the rest of the way, running through September 18th, ending in Bangor, Maine. So go to REOSpeedwagon.com for a date, your tickets and all of that, LiveNation.com. And as you heard, three bands, great, a ton of hits, great bill, reasonable ticket prices. No one's going to bang you for $5,000 to go see this. You'll have a great time. You'll have some beer money left, right, Kevin? You're not fleecing people.
Yeah.
I know that's a plus too in today's economy.
It is, Eddie, and believe me, our kind of bands, you know, that came up old school, you know, playing clubs and moving on to VFW halls and, you know, whatever, you know, we have a good sense of that, a good sense of audiences. And, you know, obviously we work hard and we want to get paid for what we do, but we don't want to, you know, we don't need, you know, we're good at a certain level. At that point, it's like, well, wait a minute, let's keep our, just like you say, keep the ticket prices reasonable so people can go out and feel like they got more than their money's worth. You know, that's what we always want people to feel like. Like, we, you know, we exceeded their expectations. They walk out of that concert and they feel like, they just feel great. That's, you know, that's our job and that's what we're doing.
Hey, a couple other quick things and I'll let you go. I heard that a little birdie that may or may not have been your manager, my friend Tom, and told me that that you're working on a book.
You know what? I am working on a book, Eddie. I started it by accident. You know, we did a tour with Status Quo in Great Britain. Status Quo, who over here, you know, had pictures of Matchstick Men in like 1967, and then no one heard of them again. But I'm sure you know that Status Quo is a huge, what they call them, a boogie band over in Europe and especially in Great Britain. And so we toured with them, and I started journaling, just like this one, the journal about the British tour. And the next thing I knew, I was writing a book. I've been at it ever since. And so, you know, it's a labor of love, and it keeps me busy, you know. And when I'm done with it, I'll definitely let you know. But I'm getting close. Thanks for asking.
When did REO tour with Status Quo? That was recently or way back in the day?
No, this was in 2016. We did a big tour with Def Leppard in the summer, and I was away from home a lot. And then I got home, and I was home for a couple of months in the fall, and I was feeling like connected to my wife and the kids. It was great. And then I had to go to England for a month, and it just, I got there and I just kind of melted down a little bit. And so journaling for me, you know, I like to write, whether it's, you know, songs or, you know, blogs for our, you know, social media pages or whatever. I just like to write. It's kind of my hobby. It's kind of my hobby, and maybe someday it'll actually be released.
So when the book is done, it will it be pretty much like your story, like an autobiography, or is it more just about the recent years on the road?
Well, the working title is Roll with the Changes, and then in small print, My Life Within and Without REO Speedwagon. So it's my life story, kind of told, you know, through the songs. You know, the songs kind of go along with the story. So, and it's REO's story. You know, I think fans of our band, there's a couple of questions that they have, you know, and one of them is, where do the songs come from? How does that happen? So I do my best to dig into that. And also, you know, what happened between Kevin and Gary, you know, what happened between me and Gary Richrath, who is the guy that found me. You know, I was a folk singer in Chicago, and he found me and saw something that I hadn't even seen yet. And, you know, I played Music Man for him on an acoustic guitar. And next thing I knew, I was, you know, on a plane to Champaign, joining REO Speedwagon. And so Gary was always kind of a big brother figure to me. And the fans want to know what happened, you know, in 1989 when we went our separate ways. So I get into that, and just, you know, fun road stories, you know, the famous machine gun out the door, the airplane story, you know, the helicopter in the Holiday Inn parking lot story, you know, very, you know, all that kind of stuff is in there too. So it's, you know, I try to paint, you know, a picture of a kid who, as I say in the book, in high school, no one would have ever mistaken me for being most likely to succeed. You know what I'm saying? So it's right. Kind of a story to let people know that, man, you know, it's, you know, don't get down, man. You know, whatever you are, whatever your dream is, whether it's to be an artist or a carpenter, whatever it is, you know, just put in the work. And don't give up, and you'll find your way. You know, that's the underlying story to this book. And so hopefully, you know, people can learn from my mistakes and from the rare good move that I made over the years.
Well, I can't wait to read it. And those teasers you just threw out there sound great. So when it's ready and it comes out, we'll have to do a whole show, because, I mean, I want to hear about the helicopter in the parking lot. That could be an hour right there, as far as I'm concerned. So,
you know, Eddie, you'll have to get the book. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I want to read the book and then ask you about the book once it's out. So we'll do that for sure.
And last thing, Kevin,
I do a show every year, and as a listener, you may have heard it, where we do what I call the Top Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Snubs. And every year I have to revise that list, because the bands that I scream about for the Hall of Fame eventually get in. So, for instance, last year, right, two of the bands I screamed about was Pat Benatar and Judas Priest. Thankfully, they're both going in. Now they can come off the list. So recently, with my audience, we revised that list as we do every year. And a few times on these lists came up actually Styx, who you're on tour with, and your band, REO Speedwagon. And I saw your manager, Tom, recently at a Sammy Hagar show, who he also manages. And I said to Tom, I said, well, we got Pat in. I said, Sammy's already in on your roster with Van Halen. Next, it's got to be REO. We got to start getting REO in. I'm curious for you, is that important to you? Is that something that you'd like to see happen? Because I think it's pretty deserved, if I'm being honest. But, you know, and us as fans, we obsess over this kind of stuff because we feel, you know, the band's being disrespected, not being on a ballot or not being considered. Where do you land on that? Are you kind of like, hey, if it happened, great. I'm sure it doesn't keep you up nights, but where do you land on the whole Hall of Fame thing?
Well, yeah, it doesn't keep me up nights. It is, for the sake of my kids and my grandkids, you know, someday, that's what I think about. I think, you know, it's like one day my son said, hey, Dad, are you guys in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? He must have just seen the show on TV. And I said, no, we're not. He goes, how come? You know, it's like, oh, you know, I'd rather be able to answer that question. Yeah, we are. You know, so and obviously there's something nice about being in there as opposed to not being in there, you know, when you've been around as long as we have. So, hey, if it doesn't happen, you know, I'm good. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. But would it be cool? Yeah, I think so. I think it would. And I think anybody, I don't know, this is just my opinion, but anybody who kind of says, oh, yeah, you know, we don't care, it doesn't mean anything, I think probably a lot of those people change their tune once they get in. And because I hear that from people, that they're like, I don't care. And then all of a sudden they get in, they go, you know what? This is pretty cool being in, you know what I mean? So I was really happy for Pat and Spider to get in. And Spider did promise that he, now that he's a voting member, that he'll be voting for us next year. So we got one vote, then we got you, that's two.
You got
Daniel
it.
He'll probably vote for us, that's three. So,
but
know,
wait, but wait,
start,
Spider,
right?
Wait, Spider and Pat, because of course, Spider is going in deservedly with Pat as he should, but that's two, because I mean he should be able to, now Pat's going to have a vote too, so we're going to get a landslide for REO going in this thing finally.
Nice.
But if you think about it, Kevin, there is no doubt an inherent bias from the Hall of Fame about bands like REO Speedwagon and others, because look at who's not there besides REO. All of which have a ton of hits and sold millions of records. REO, Styx, Foreigner, Boston. There's a kind of a theme there, don't you think, of those? I mean, the theme is all of the bands are great and sold billions of records that still get played on the radio every day. But for whatever reason, there seems to be a disconnect with that breed and the Hall of Fame, to the point that Journey only went in recently. And I mean, that's insane. So maybe there's progress. Pat and Spider getting there. Journey got there recently. And I'm hoping that opens the door for you and some of those bands I mentioned.
Yeah. You know, when I think about it, Eddie, you know, we're very close to the guys in Cheap Trick, and I was real happy for them when they got in. And,
yeah.
And you know, and I think part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing is what your legacy is, and did you carve out a niche in the world of music through your band, you know? And I think that, and this is just my opinion, but I think REO Speedwagon gets lumped in to a, you know, to, cause people used to, you know, the press used to refer to the bands like the ones you just mentioned as being corporate rock.
Yes. And I'm glad, and real quick, Kevin, I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Because that makes me nuts, because I don't even understand what it means, but it's kind of a condescending term. To me, what it means is bands that sold billions of records that still draw people and still get played. But like, I don't understand what that even means. And I've heard that as a derogatory term to that era so many times. Can you elaborate? Do you even understand that?
I think there's a misconception. I can speak for my band because I know how we operate, and I think there's a misconception that certain bands who sold a lot of records somehow, you know, made a deal with the devil, you know, and somehow sold out to corporations and made music that all they cared about was to sell records, and I can tell you that. I don't know any band that operates that way. You know, our band, you know, we played, it took 10 albums before anyone really heard our songs on the radio. And,
oh yeah.
And our songs just, I write, I started out as a folk singer, like I said. So I just write songs, and you know, and then, you know, when you go in the studio, you're making a record because you want to share your music with people. So you want to do it produce the song in a way that hopefully people will hear it. That, you know, for us, I think the key was that REO they were more like Deep Purple when they first started. And then when I joined the band, I brought in kind of a Buffalo Springfield, you know, kind of a folk rock thing. And so REO it's kind of turned into what I call hard folk rock. You know, it's like folk rock, but with Rich Rath's guitar screaming, you know, and this powerful rhythm section. That whole corporate rock thing, I think I agree with you. I think it's a term of condescension. It's a way for someone that just for whatever reason didn't like those records to kind of justify their dislike by characterizing it as being kind of sellout music. And that's just that's not what we did. We just, you know, we were producing our own records at that point. We were just going in the studio by the seat of our pants and, you know, hoping for the best, you know. So, and then, and I will say that we got really lucky, because when I brought Keep On Loving You into rehearsal, I sat at the piano over at SIR Studios in Santa Monica, and I was playing the verses. I hadn't written the chorus yet. I kept playing them over and over and over again. The band was like sitting around, and then the chorus came to me, and I started playing that. And Rich Rath got up, plugged in, you know, a curly guitar chord from his vintage Les Paul into a stack of Marshalls. And to this day, I'm not sure whether he was playing along or just trying to drown me out so I would stop playing that song. But when I heard his guitar on that chorus of that song, my arm hair just stood up, and I went, oh shit, this is a kind of a soft, moody, kind of a emotional lyric and melody here. But with that guitar, it was just like, oh my God, that's exactly what the song needed to just deliver it powerfully. And people heard that and they liked it, you know, so what can I tell you?
And maybe one of the first ever true power ballads, you know. I mean, there obviously were ballads prior to that, but I mean, that's always been one of my favorite things, is the marriage of nasty, loud guitar with beautiful melody and vocal. And that song encapsulates that. So in a way, I mean, really one of the earliest, what would come after, as that may have spawned what came a few years after with that whole MTV movement and every hard rock band in the world making a power ballad and making it be the lead single and making it be a big track from the record. And we all know how well so many of those bands in the hard rock world did with that. But in a lot of ways, I think you set a blueprint with that, with Keep On Loving You.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was a happy accident for us. And, you know, it's got that little naughty lyric, I don't want to sleep, I just want to, you know what I mean? So there was just a couple of, it was just one of those, you know, I write a million songs, and then, you know, every once in a while, one just comes along. And to be honest, when I wrote those verses in the middle of the night, you know, I was barely awake. But when I wrote them, Eddie, I had a feeling, you know, just because I'd been making records for 10 years by then, I just, something inside me said, wow, there's something special here, you know. And I think maybe it was the honesty of it, and the fact that I, you know, those verses have got, you know, people use Keep On Loving You as their wedding song. And whenever I hear that, I think to myself, man, did you guys read the lyrics?
Exactly. You know what I mean? That's very true. I've thought about that too. The chorus is one thing, the verse is something else.
I know. Exactly. But that was my journey, you know. I mean, what I experienced that brought those verses on, you know, then I made the decision, you know, it was either, I was either going to stay or go out of the relationship, and I made the decision to stay, and that's when the chorus came. So it was just like, you know, it's definitely life imitating, or art, I don't know, whatever that saying is.
Yeah, life imitating art. Yeah, but that's hysterical, man. And I'll let you go. I appreciate your time, but that's hysterical because you're right. That song is a wedding song. And if you listen to those verses, that's not the one what you want to start your wedding journey on. Kevin, you might have to do a rewrite of it or just go in and edit the song and just so it keeps looping the chorus or something, because people may not realize what they're playing there. All coiled up in the grass, hissing.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God, that's too funny.
Well, you know, and
anyway, man, listen, it's always great to visit with you, Kevin, and I appreciate the time. Everybody go to REOSpeedwagon.com, LiveNation.com, get your tickets. REO sticks, co-headlining, Loverboy supporting, and the dates resume this coming Friday, and you can find a date near you online. Hope to get out there and see you myself soon, Kevin, and send my best to the guys. Thank you so much.
Will do, Eddie. Best of luck with the new channel, and I will figure out how to reprogram my car eventually, hopefully sometime this week. That's going to be my journey between now and when the tour starts again. All right. I got some.
All right. Yeah, there you go. All right, man. Thank you so much. Right. I'll talk to you soon. Right. Take care. Safe travels.
You got it. All right, Eddie. Bye.
Great stuff from Kevin. Hysterical story about Keep On Loving You. So many people don't realize some of the lyrics in that song and using it for a wedding song and stuff. That was priceless.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Kent State, their name does something for people. When people hear that you're a Kent State grad, they're like, oh yeah, I have a lot of nurses like that. And they're good nurses. They want to hire you because you're from Kent State in their nursing program. They teach the art of nursing. They teach the therapeutic communication. They teach how to really care for the person and not just knowledge. Even when it's hard in classes, even when this is a new adjustment, the school itself has the people and the support that you need to be the best nurse that you can be.
Begin at Kent State University.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, we got another great interview for you. It's another front man from another band that's currently on tour this summer. That band would be Poison. That lead singer would be Brett Michaels. Brett and I have a long, old friendship and history, and it was great to visit with him. He took a few minutes out from a day off from the stadium tour when they were on a break to call into my radio show, Trunk Nation, and here's that conversation. How are you, my friend?
Eddie, my friend, I am doing awesome. How you doing today?
I'm good. You know, I just saw some video of you on TikTok that apparently, in addition to all your work fronting your solo band and Poison, that you also fix a mean RV.
Let me tell you something. You have any kind of vehicular problems, give me a call. I was laughing so hard because Pete came around the corner and I was underneath there and I was damn determined that this family truckster was going to, I was going to have full support underneath there for the storage.
And you were really getting your Pennsylvania on working on an RV in the heat, weren't you?
Yin's up there working on that, are you? That's the most Pennsylvania I was. I was laughing. I go, Pete, you're laughing at me. Why don't you get in here and help me do this? It was great.
Are you good that? Are you the kind of guy that can fix anything? Because I can't put a light bulb in, but are you good like that?
honestly, this is how sad is this? But yes, when you live behind a dry cleaner for three years struggling in L.A., and when I say struggling, I mean I'm talking about sleeping bag, battling cockroaches, building your own area to sleep in. I'm fairly handy, oddly enough. I even did that show, Rock My RV.
Yeah.
And it was, we had an incredibly great time building them out. It was awesome.
So, you know, it's too bad you didn't know how to fix an airplane, because last week I was waiting to see you in Vegas at a private gig you were doing. And I get to the gig at 7:30. You guys were supposed to play at 8. I said to Pete, where's Brett? He's on the ground in Kansas City.
This is no lie. He was only off by a little bit. We left from Kansas City, right? And we got up in the plane, and we're just going to leave it at this, a little problem. And luckily, Jesse has been flying forever, and he is incredible. And he turned that thing around, and we were right over Wichita. And I want to do a big shout out to them. They got that on the ground and started to fix it. And luckily, a friend of ours had the availability to bring almost the identical Ultra up. And we made it late that night. And full credit to you and to Pete. Pete, you inspired him. He went up and played for this private event. They did two sets. They were friends of ours. And they threw a hell of a party. I got there at 11, walked on stage, and we just went till early in the morning.
Yeah, no, it was a great time. And I'm sorry, I had my son with me, so I would have hung out to see you. But I saw Pete go up and do it. And yeah, it was like a boxer getting ready to go into the ring. He's like, Brett's not here. We got to run through songs. I'm like, you got this, Pete. You'll be able to do it. And you got such a great solo band that they went up there and they killed it. I watched like six songs they did.
It was amazing. And like I said, this was a friend of ours that throws these little private parties. It was something we were doing. And honestly, I go back to this. I've been blessed to have great people around me, great friends, but also really talented musicians. They went up there and you inspired him. You said, Eddie fired me up. And I went up there, had a few shots. We'll leave it at that. And him and the band went at it. And I told him, look, have a great time. Grace of God, I'm still here on the planet. Everything worked out right. And we got there, did the show, and flew right back to perform again with Poison the next day.
You know, you weren't there, but Pete said something really funny, because you've got these backdrops that are photos of you up on the stage. And when Pete came out, he said, clearly I'm not Brett Michaels. He said, but just stare at the pictures and you can pretend he's here until he gets here. You need a Brett hologram.
He does. He's also a comedian. His side work as a full-time musician and comedian. It's amazing. He does great.
And of course, we're talking about Pete Evick, who is Brett's longtime guitarist and a friend, and also can sing great and went up there and covered while Brett was dealing with those plane issues trying to get to Vegas about a week ago. All right, bud. So let me ask you about this, man. I got to tell you, and I'm being totally straight with you, and I mentioned this to you when I spoke to you on the phone last week. Since the stadium tour started, of course, everybody's loving all the bands. Truly, they are. But the one band that I have more people calling in who are people who went to these shows that are walking out of there saying, wow, I was blown away, or wow, I didn't even go in as a big fan, but I came out as one, is Poison. Tell me how this whole experience has been for you on this tour. I know a second leg coming up, first leg in the books. How has it felt for you to be reconnected with the guys in Poison? You guys don't play all that often. And to be out there getting the response you're getting.
Well, first of all, to those that called in and said that, thank you. And the fans coming out. It starts with this. I'm doing a whole pictorial on this. There's a whole big story that rolls out before the two nights we kick off in Fenway this coming up weekend. And there's a whole big pictorial we're doing about this and about my gratitude. I just said, look, I can only speak from the feeling I have. And when I come out on that stage, I am beyond excited. I've got this incredible, let's call it unique, positive energy to also not just sing the songs, but tell the fans how grateful we are. And the first words out of my mouth are, we didn't get here alone. It's the best statement ever. The fans, the bands, the crew. And then again, I want to go back to this. the fact that we get to share that stage with people that I admire, I love. I would have bought a ticket to this, as I said many times. If I wasn't on this bill, I would have bought a ticket to the stadium tour. And, you know, to be up there with Def Leppard and Motley Crue, Joan Jett and the Black Hearts, and this new incredible rock band, Classless Act. Honestly, I say this, it's the best time of my life. I always have a great time. And we have a bunch of solo dates I do in between these at these festivals. But honestly, everyone out there, that crew, I need to tell the fans this. They are moving, Jamie and everyone out there that is doing this, they're moving an entire city. And think about this, a band ends, they're moving all of that gear off, getting the next band up, and to make sure that in the end, what matters is the fans have a great time.
Well, I mean, I think that there's a lot of things, and I've not seen a show yet, but I look forward to catching one. But I think there's a lot of things that are working towards Poison's favor in this. You've got a great slot in the middle of the day where people are still very fresh and energetic and excited to be there. But the other thing is, Poison, and I mean this in a good way, you guys are kind of like locusts where you show up every 5 years and then go underground again. So I think a lot of bands actually overplay, where it's like once or twice a year, it's like, oh, I can see them again, and I see them again. But for you guys, it truly is special when you all unite and come together, and I think that comes into play a little bit as well.
1,000,000%. Here's why. Remember, we grew up, again, I could go into this over and over, but it's the truth. We grew up in a really small town, and then we had the chance to meet CeCe. He's from New York, but he moved out to L.A. We rehearsed. And that's part of this pictorial I'm doing this upcoming week. It's really personal photos. As I said, it all starts right here. We go back into a small rehearsal room and play nothing but good old-fashioned live rock and roll. And our friendship, that energy, all works. It's an incredible – we get on that stage. And then to add to your point, again, for Poison – I'm telling people, get out and see this, because it'll be a couple years again, more than likely reunite in 25 and go back out there and just kick ass again and have a great time. And it's exciting, and people get to see it. But here's the bottom line. We're four original members that all want to be there. That's all I can tell you. The other bands, every one of them wants to be there. They're putting on a great show. Each of us has a unique identity. And you're right. We get to play. People just got there. The buildings, I think what Live Nation was surprised about is the buildings are 90 to 100% filled when Poison's hitting the stage. And they're getting that first beer. You know, you're into your first or second beer. It's a good summer feel. And we're bringing out a good party. I mean, we're starting with Cat Dragged In, Ride the Wind, Talk Dirty to Me. And then just hit them with hits for 55 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I got so much respect for the fact that, yes, you guys are still the original band. You play totally live and real. You got Will Dowdy over there helping you out that does a great job, which is awesome. But the four of you guys still just, you know, plugging in and playing and really singing live, it's awesome. And I think it's great. Now, you mentioned people might not see Poison until 25 again after this. That's 3 years from now. Is there a plan for you? I mean, I know you work relentlessly with the solo stuff, but is there a definite schedule in place for what's going to happen over the next 2.5 years?
Well, again, for me, next year, I put it off this year because we didn't know this year if with everything going on in the world, we didn't know if the stadium tour was going to go. I prayed every day. I'm like, I hope this goes. I've been waiting since 20. First words out of my mouth, besides thanking the fans and the bands and the crew, I go, I've been waiting almost 3 years for this. We announced the stadium tour, but for me this year, we were going to do the Party Grawl tour. I put together something incredible, and now we're going to launch that in 23. And when I tell you what this is and the way we've designed it with everybody, it's an incredible amphitheater tour that's just going to be, again, I think it's going to be insane and going to be what we call it, the all thriller, no filler summer party. And you'll know what I mean when it hits the stage. It's really an exciting idea.
Now, this is your own band or Poison that would do this?
Well, it would be, no, this would be my own band in 23.
Okay.
And then
okay.
Again, I just saying in 25 is probably when Poison will put a humongous world tour together and go back out and be incredible. And it'll be awesome. In 23, right now I moved. In 22, again, I want to explain my Party Grawl, this entire amphitheater thing we're doing in festival. We as soon as we knew we were doing a stadium tour, we moved that to 23, and we got to do the stadium tour, which is incredible. And the Poison standalone shows, like we're going to do with you in Tulsa on, I yep. believe, Saturday, August 20th.
Yep.
That's going to be insane. And again, we get to play a lot longer and put a lot more songs in the set.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that. I'm going to be hosting a show with Poison, also on the bill. It's a great bill. Tom Kiefer, LA Guns. And again, that's August 20th, which is a Saturday. And that'll happen at the BOK Center, which is a great arena in downtown Tulsa. I was there for the first time hosting a Megadeth show a few months ago. My buddy Doug Burgess is the promoter, always puts on a great party. And that's going to be a Poison headline show. Those tickets are on sale now and almost sold out. And Brett, I know you've broken off and done a bunch of solo stuff on off nights of the stadium tour, but outside of this Tulsa show on the 20th, are there many other Poison headline dates or no?
There is. And I tell everybody, just go to brettmichaels.com or poison.com. And just what I want to tell people is, it gives you the great thing about unbelievable great thing about the internet and social media. You can literally watch stuff, hear stuff, know stuff almost in real time, you know. And I just tell people, just go to brettmichaels.com or poison.com and check it out. And they can get all that information, whether they're interested in the outstanding Poison shows or whether they want to check out the Brett Michaels Party Grawl. That's going to be, we have a few of those select dates till the end of the year, but the big thing kicks off in 23.
Can you tell us who else will be on Party Grawl, or you're not ready to do that yet?
No, we know. We just don't want to say it yet. When you see the concept I wrote up, I think people, it's just a great, it's like I said, it's a all thriller, no filler, all original singer, nothing but hits that just is going to roll. It's going to be. It truly, when they use the words nothing but a good vibe or nothing but a good time, it is going to be that kind of night. And we're only going to pick select dates in all the amphitheaters, Live Nation amphitheaters, and then take it out to the festivals and everything along with it.
Let me ask you this. Another thing that I'm catching from people who have seen Poison on the stadium tour is how great the vibe is up there and all of that. Now, we all know that over the decades, it's not always been like that with the four of you. You've dodged a bass from Bobby on stage in the past and what have you. How is the vibe backstage and on stage for you and the four of you? Is everybody clicking?
Absolutely great. And you ready, Eddie? I know the fans are like, dude, I've talked about this before. We get along 99% of the time, funny, laughing, working out stuff for rehearsal, going through stuff. Unfortunately, with us, we're like brothers. It's like stepbrothers with the Nick and the stick. You know what I mean? If you see that, hey, you touch my drum. Like, it's when it goes bad, we don't know how to go in the middle. We don't negotiate the bad. We go straight to fist, straight to chest. It's the chest bump, fist, words, knock down, drag out. I mean, me and Bobby didn't mess around. Me and CeCe didn't mess around. Me and Ricky have had some ridiculous, I mean, almost knock down, drag out brawls. And then an hour later, we're like, you cool? Oh, I'm cool. Let's go grab something to drink. And we work out the set and go on like brothers do. But the vibe, the truth is that vibe, when we hit the stage, as you know, you can't fake having a good time. You know, when you can see when people are trying to go through the motions, we're definitely having a good time. And I spend every minute saying, ladies and gentlemen, CeCe, Bobby, Ricky, you know, and Ricky being out there, me and him have both had some pretty heavy, different medical things.
Yeah.
And Ricky's out there kicking butt, not only surviving, but thriving from cancer. And myself, I had a rough go. And out of that, really, what I should have been down for about 2 weeks, I missed one show in Nashville. And that was the biggest upset for me, because I love Nashville. I lived there forever. have a beautiful ranch there. And the truth of the matter is I was bummed. But as that show was taking place, I was on an IV and some other stuff I won't go into, but just fixing up the diabetes and some other things were going on. And I felt really bummed out. I apologize to the Nashville fans profusely. But had I not stayed in the hospital, we would have been pulling out of the last 2 weeks of the tour.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because that was well documented when that happened. And there's nothing more important than your health. And of course, although we all feel like kids still, none of us are kids anymore. No, nobody on that tour certainly either, except for Classless Act. They are kids, but outside of the main four acts.
Like they're awesome. Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, but so you're okay, though. That's all behind you, and that was just a setback from your diabetic stuff.
I just got checked on this little moment of the break because I had a couple solo shows, festivals, and the honest to God truth is I'm feeling 90% better, and I'm hoping by Boston I'm right there. And I still came out on that stage, and that heat, let me tell you something. We went to St. Louis. It was 103, 109 up at the front of the ramp. And the way I was feeling, I gave it I left every bit of energy I had out there, but thanks to good medical attention and in my case, grace of God and a lot of well wishes, it really got me through it. And Jacksonville, I'm going to tell you something, that crowd was insane and it was pouring rain. And Eddie, the best thing that happened to me was it got slightly cold and poured rain. And I was like, oh, this feels amazing. I embraced the rain. I know that sounds funny, but sometimes when that weather turned, I was like, oh, this feels great. And I just stayed out there and the rain was cold on a hot night and it felt good.
Just a couple more things and I'll let you go, brother. I wanted to ask you about new music, whether with the solo band or with Poison. It's been a long time since Poison made new music, new song, new album. I had Ricky, Ricky called in a couple weeks ago because he heard us talking about Poison and he was just checking in. It was very nice of him. And he said, I'd love to do more. I'd love to do a new record. I'd love to, be more active with Poison. I just don't know. Is there a side for you, Brett, that could ever see Poison? We know Leopard's out there. They're the one band on this tour that's promoting a new record. Is there a side to you that would like to make new music with Poison at any point?
I make new music every day. Like now as we're talking, just finishing up stuff with Pete that we're working on every day. And yes, without a doubt, here's what I would do with Poison. I'm having this openly because we've had this discussion. If we could all just pick out one good song, make it amazing, make it fun to like you're seeing on the stadium tour. What happens when you go in there and say, put together 12 songs and everyone, starts this or I want it to be that, or let's just go in and make a really great rock song, a really good new, when I say this, new version of Nothing But a Good Time, a new Talk Dirty to Me or Cat Dragged In, and come out with the only expectation that it's just a great new song to play. I think we would have a blast doing it. And I know that with the songwriting of CC and Bobby, Ricky, and myself, we would write a good song. And then we just go out and have an amazing time playing that when we go out and do stuff hopefully in 25.
And last thing, and I'll let you go on this. This is August 1st, 2022. Training camps are open. How are you feeling about your Pittsburgh Steelers now that the camps have started?
I feel great. I'm just, you know me, that's a loaded question because I'm like, you got to believe it to receive it guy. I got to believe that this is the beginning of a new era. A friend of mine that's a minority owner in the Steelers and a neighbor, and they changed over Heinz Field. Everything's the beginning. Ben was amazing. I mean, he's an instant Hall of Famer and an incredible, incredible human being for the city and everything. But yeah, I feel I got to believe, knowing training camp, looking at everything, I think we're going to kick ass.
You know, that's the beauty of the start of a new season for the sport, for sports, because we're all winning the Super Bowl. In August, we're all winning this. I feel like everybody, my Giants are going to win the Super Bowl. I'm eternally optimistic.
That's you and me. We've talked about this over at an Irish pub over many a drink. Yeah. I'm eternally optimistic that we are going to the Super Bowl. And even if we're down in the season without a chance, I still believe out of some wild card miracle, we're going to the bowl.
That's it. I mean, that by its nature is really what being a fan is, right? Always having that belief and pulling for your team through thick and thin. That's really what it comes down to.
Absolutely. Which, let me say this, I'm going to segue. I'm going to jump for a moment to the next thing. I want to make sure that the fans understand the gratitude I have, not just for my solo band and my good buddies. And when I say solo band, it's not a side project. I live for this and I love it. But for Pete and everybody in the band, and Rob and Norman and, you know, Proud Mary, I love them. But I also want to make sure that, and this includes Will, who's our keyboard player and incredible background vocals. I want to make sure that Bobby and Ricky and CeCe, they understand how grateful I am. I've got great friends. We've been through a lot together, and here we are this many years later, getting to rock a stadium and share the stage with people I love. But last but not least, the definitely most important, the fans. They need to know this. I have a whole thing called Fan Appreciation Matters. It's called Welcome to the Fam. And I can't explain enough, when I'm out there down on my knees, smacking hands, doing all that stuff, it's really a true, sincere thank you for letting me live out my dream. And we can't do it without the fans. So thank you and thank them.
Well, it's definitely resonating, because the fans are picking up on it and they're loving it, and they're loving seeing Poison out there. And of course, people wanting to go see your solo band, plenty of opportunities for that as well. Go to brettmichaels.com, and that's where you'll find all your information on everything Brett's got going on, from his books to TV stuff. I know there's an A&E doc coming soon. There are the solo shows, the Poison headline dates. I'll see you at the one on in Tulsa, again, August 20th at the BOK, and the stadium tour resuming in Boston this coming weekend. So a lot of stuff going on, man. Get your rest in there too, buddy. We need to keep you healthy.
Nuts to that. I'm going to shoot this A&E doc. I got to shoot that. And then don't forget, in Practical Jokers, I got a gag with them. I'm not going to say another word. They'll kick me off.
Oh, I didn't know about this. You have a spot in that show?
I had them, all my buddies, I had them up on stage with us in Cincinnati. If the fans get a chance, just check out again, brettmichaels.com. You see Murr up there. You see Q. Sal couldn't be there. I just want to say the fans went crazy. And I've done their show once. We're about to do something off the record crazy again that I'm not supposed to mention, but I just did. So hopefully I'm still on it. And it's I'll leave it at that.
Well, you know, those guys are New York guys. It's funny, I don't know them, but I have seen their show, and it's great stuff. So
I'm going to take you with me. You're going to love it. You're going to come down today. You're coming with me.
All right, sounds like a plan. Well, listen, buddy, I'll see you sooner than that. I'll see you in Tulsa on the 20th at the BOK, and then I'm definitely going to try to hit a stadium show. I think I might do the last one, which is where my second home is now, in Vegas. So I hope to make that at Allegiant. I was just in Vegas the last 3 weeks. There's posters up all over the city for it. So I think that's the one I'm going to shoot for. But I'll be seeing you in Tulsa in a few weeks. And stay healthy. That's most important. And keep kicking ass out there.
Hey, thank you so much. I'll see you then in Tulsa. I'll final leave you at this one. Ready? The Tulsa show, I encourage fans. I mean, I know the show's almost sold out, but that show in the BOK, it is an incredible. Poison, we really still given 1,000% effort into the audiovisual party we're about to put on, and encourage people, any of those standalone shows, see them, because they're great.
Yeah, it's a great chance to see, like you said earlier, a little bit longer set, headline set, and hopefully more of those to come as well. All right, man. Well, listen, yep. Safe travels out there, okay? And if you need anything, you know where to get me.
Love you, my brother. Have a great day.
Love you too, man. Take care. Say hi to the guys.
You know.
Big thanks to Brett Michaels. Always great to visit with him. We will see what Party Gras turns into as more information comes out on that. Of course, Poison currently on the stadium tour. A few more dates left on that in the U.S. So hopefully you'll get a chance to see it. I've heard nothing but rave reviews about Poison's performances during this tour. And thanks earlier, of course, to Kevin Cronin of REO Speedwagon, who joined us earlier in the podcast. Again, everything you just heard originated live on my SiriusXM radio show, Trunk Nation. Remember, that's at a new time on a new channel. The channel is Faction Talk 103, and the time is 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern daily. Everything is on demand on the app as well. Go to the SiriusXM app and put in Trunk Nation. It will all come up. If you're in the U.S. and Canada and you are not already listening daily on SiriusXM to Trunk Nation, I truly hope you come on board and join us and subscribe. Another podcast for you next Thursday. See you this weekend in Tulsa and Tennessee if you're attending those events I mentioned earlier. At Eddie Trunk on social media to keep up with everything going on. Thanks to Joel Pollack for producing the podcast and the radio show. And I'll see you next Thursday here for another podcast. And of course, hopefully every day for Trunk Nation on SiriusXM 103 Faction Talk. Again, new time starting 3 o'clock Eastern live every day. Have a good week, everybody.
Kent State, their name does something for people. When people hear that you're a Kent State grad, they're like, oh yeah, I have a lot of nurses like that. And they're good nurses. They want to hire you because you're from Kent State in their nursing program. They teach the art of nursing. They teach the therapeutic communication. They teach how to really care for the person and not just knowledge. Even when it's hard in classes, even when this is a new adjustment, the school itself has the people and the support that you need to be the best nurse that you can be.
Begin at Kent State University.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.